Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, hey, what's going on? It is Monday, September 16th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant, week two, almost done. What the heck, man? Every year, I always say there's about 25% of the season, like 4 or 5 weeks that are just bananas. And well, yesterday was definitely the first one. We'll see how this thing ends up with Monday Night Football, but there was already enough craziness to give it one of those distinctions. A lot of upsets winning, big time upsets winning. A lot of crazy performances, and unfortunately, a few injuries that we need to account for. So we're going to dive right in. Remember, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. If you want DVOA, you get it at FTNFantasy.com. If you want my betting, my DFS stuff, and well, all of our DFS stuff and betting stuff, you get it at FTNFantasy.com. We're not just a fantasy football outlet. Allegedly, I heard rumors that we're even going to have fantasy hockey, like season-long fantasy hockey draft advice. So if you dabble, we got you covered. Don't ask me. I have no clue. But this is what we do at FTN. All right, so let's get in to these. And we're going to go game by game. Really quick takes. Not going to give you everything. But, you know, the biggest takeaways for each of these games. Let's start with a very surprising one, a statement game. With the New Orleans Saints absolutely laying the wood here, they demolished the Dallas Cowboys. Who saw that one coming? 44-19. I was asked about Alvin Kamara. Obviously, he has a huge game here, 4 total touchdowns. He's got 5 on the season, and whether it's a sell high opportunity. So here's what I typically do if I want to evaluate sell high. If the player is exceeding your expectations and you do not think it is sustainable, then sell on that player. As of right now, obviously, like, is Alvin Kamara going to score 4 touchdowns every single week? No, but can he be an RB1, like a back end RB1 going forward here? Possibly. I mean, he's shown certain signs of that, and that would be a nice little ROI on whatever you draft him at, because you didn't draft him as a top 12 guy, almost certainly. I mean, I'm not going to say nobody did, but it's very unlikely if you're listening to this podcast you did. And maybe, just maybe, you drafted him in like the 7th round if he fell. If that's the case, like, you just nailed a hero / zero RB, and I think it's fine to stay the course. Like, I don't always feel the need to constantly be doing stuff in fantasy football, constantly be trading players, et cetera. And so, you know, you kind of struck gold here. But again, if your valuation is, no, this is not sustainable, then yeah, you could move on from him. I mean, again, there's all kinds of different ways to run rosters. I have him in one league. I managed to get him in one league at a 7th round value. He slipped. I'm going to stay the course and see what happens. You know, we'll definitely see what happens there with Alvin Kamara going forward. Otherwise, I'll talk more about Rashid Shaheed tomorrow. You got a good CeeDee Lamb performance, surprising Jalen Tolbert performance. We'll have to talk about him tomorrow. And, you know, I'm not panicking for Dak Prescott. It wasn't bad. I mean, 2 interceptions, 293 and 1 for Prescott in this performance. All right, let's move on to the next game here. Tampa and Detroit, which was another surprising one. Oh, and by the way, I'll talk about Derek Carr. He only threw the ball 16 times. He's remarkably efficient so far this season. But Tampa and Detroit, 20-16, Tampa winning this one. And there was a little bit of concern coming out of this for Rashad White, but apparently, according to Jeremy Fowler over at ESPN, he should be good with that groin issue. Bucky Irving still deserves to be on rosters, you know, especially in deeper leagues, but it's still Rashad White's backfield. Wasn't the best game for him, obviously, in this one. It was really Chris Godwin and then pretty much everybody else. Over to the other side, Amon-Ra, we're going to keep an eye on him. He was dinged up in this game, even though he was out there a ton, had 19 targets, 11 for 119. Like, that's the Amon-Ra that we are looking for. Otherwise, I think the Sam Laporta, you know, Sam Laporta's performance so far this season has not been up to snuff compared to where people drafted him. Does that mean that this is a bust of a fantasy season? Of course not. This is 2 weeks into the year. Let's evaluate from here. Is this a buy low opportunity? So how do I evaluate that? If a player is playing below where I expect him to be going forward, then it's a buy low opportunity. And I will tell you flat out, Sam Laporta is a buy low. If you have the Laporta manager, which chances are they may be panicking because they drafted him in the 2nd or 3rd round. If they're panicking, toss something out there. You're not going to be able to trade, like, you know, the flavor of the week, like Hunter Henry or Mike Gesicki for him. But if you missed, let's say you missed on one of the top seven tight ends, but you have a decent enough option, or maybe you could do something where you give that player plus somebody else and get Laporta plus somebody else and really upgrade the tight end spot. I mean, it could be worth it if it makes your team better. So it is a buy low opportunity potentially there on Sam Laporta. Let's move on to the next game, Indianapolis and Green Bay. Another surprise here. Malik Willis didn't do anything in this game, really. But he threw a touchdown pass, but he was largely covered up. And I actually give a lot of credit to Matt LaFleur here. Packers winning 16-10, by the way. They covered him up. He threw the ball 14 times. He ran the ball 6 times. They essentially leaned into the run game with Josh Jacobs, and it worked. You know, 32 carries for 151 for Jacobs. Huge performance there. We actually did see Marshawn Lloyd with 6 carries, only 5 for Emmanuel Wilson. So if you're looking at, you know, who is the next man up in that backfield, it's still really close because they actually were almost dead even in snaps as well. Wilson at 12, Lloyd at 10. I think it's a matter of time before Lloyd leapfrogs in that pecking order. But regardless, will Jordan Love be back this week? We don't know yet. It felt like he was actually surprisingly close last week. But if they have to use Willis again, I would expect more of the same. Not a great outing for Anthony Richardson. 204, 1 passing touchdown, 3 interceptions. Ran 4 for 37. So, you know, he'll do that. But not his best football performance, that's for sure. Either way, Jonathan Taylor, he was awesome, and then like they just stopped using him. He went 12 for 103, which is amazing. They didn't use enough of him, unfortunately. If I have Michael Pittman, I'm not panicking. Here's another buy low opportunity. 3 for 21 for Pittman in this game. Better days are going to be ahead across the board for this offense. Like, never forget, this is the second week of the season. So I do think that people get way too panicky at this time of year. By the way, Jacobs, that was the most rushing yards by a Packer since Aaron Jones in 2020. It was the most carries by a Packers running back since Ryan Grant. Remember him? I loved Ryan Grant in fantasy in 2008. That's the way back machine right there. All right, let's move on to the Jets and Tennessee Titans. All right, well, we saw something pretty interesting here. We had a guy who's almost 41 years old throw a touchdown pass to a guy who's almost 21 years old. It was the youngest player, Braylon Allen, in this one, and the older player was obviously Aaron Rodgers, but the youngest with a scrimmage touchdown since 1930. Arnie Herber. We all started him back in 1930 in our fantasy squads. But not just one for Braylon Allen. He had 2 touchdowns here. This is not an indictment of Breece Hall. Breece Hall was awesome. In fact, the touchdown reception he had was a thing of beauty. He looked like a wide receiver. He goes 7 for 52 in a touchdown as a receiver, 14 for 62 as a runner. But this is suggesting maybe there's some independent real value for Braylon Allen, at least in the short term. Most of his value is implied. It doesn't become real unless something happened to Breece Hall. But if they're going to use him the way they did here, and I was actually really encouraged by the usage. We look at snaps, 40 for Breece, 20 for Braylon Allen. And this wasn't a blowout, although Will Levis tried his darndest to make it a blowout. So that's pretty encouraging there. We did see Mike Williams, 23 routes, 24 routes for Allen Lazard. So that Lazard fool's gold from last week, hopefully he didn't fall for that. But Mike Williams, he didn't do anything, but his arrow is pointing up. To the other side, Tajay Spears is banged up, could miss some time here. That's a good for Tony Pollard. And Pollard, despite not scoring a touchdown, ended up with a pretty decent PPR week, 5 for 40 as a pass catcher, 17 for 62 as a runner. All of that adds up pretty well. Will Levis may not be long for this job. If he's going to keep diving backwards and throwing the ball up into the air like he did, I have no idea what he was doing there. He does push the ball vertically, and that helps Calvin Ridley, but otherwise, I don't know. I don't know if they go to Mason Rudolph. DeAndre Hopkins, only 16 routes, 1 catch for 9 yards. I think I still keep him on benches because we didn't expect him to be much in the beginning of the season. And then we'll continue to monitor from there. San Francisco, Minnesota. All right, so a couple things. Let's start with Christian McCaffrey, who didn't play in this game. The expectation is he could miss more than just the 4 games allotted for the minimum for IR designated to return. And the target date that I'm now hearing is potentially week 10. And the reason for that is pretty simple. Their bye is in week 9. So you have week 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the minimum. So the earliest he could return is in week 6. If they stretch that out 3 more games, then they hit the bye. And the way that Jordan Mason is playing, there's no rush for McCaffrey to get back. That tendonitis is a very, very dicey injury with the Achilles because if not managed properly, you do risk an Achilles tear. So I think they're going to exercise extreme caution here because their aspirations, as we know, to ultimately not get to the Super Bowl, but win the Super Bowl. And if Jordan Mason does what he's doing, then they're just fine. So be prepared if you have McCaffrey. I do not think, for me, it's not a buy low opportunity on McCaffrey because I might be out of the playoffs by week 10, if I'm not playing my cards right here. So Jordan Mason, 20 for 101. Here's the problem, because I keep getting asked, who is his handcuff? The number 2 running back on this team is Deebo Samuel. He's not the handcuff, obviously. And unfortunately, San Francisco did not give us any indication here because Isaac Arendo played 1 snap, okay? 1 snap. I don't think that's enough to just anoint him the handcuff. Patrick Taylor played no offensive snaps. He just played special teams, but 1 snap compared to 0, whoopity-doo, right? So as of this point, I guess Arendo, but I'm not tripping over myself to add this dude. That's for sure. And Brock Purdy, 319-1. It wasn't a great game for him, but he did have the touchdown to Kittle. Deebo was fine. Ayuk is still ramping up. Give him time. Justin Jefferson, massive 97-yard touchdown, 4 for 133 and a score. Still elite. Was a little dinged up in this one, but apparently it's not a big deal, so I wouldn't worry too much about his status going forward. He told us as much. We'll talk a little Jalen Naylor tomorrow. He ended up getting in the end zone again, but not a lot of volume for him this season. Sam Darnold also we'll have to talk about tomorrow. Really fantastic game for him. One of the best games I've seen from him as a pro. He wasn't perfect. He certainly wasn't perfect. But the thing that's always interesting about Darnold, and I always forget this until I see it, he's not a bad running quarterback. Like, he had 5 for 32 here. Remember his time with Carolina? He had all his rushing touchdowns in his brief stint as the starter. It's just, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop with him as a starter. He's kind of like, you remember like how we always kind of felt that way with Ryan Fitzpatrick? At least I did. I'm kind of waiting for that with Darnold, but good performance for him in this one. So you got that going for you, which is nice. Moving over to Seattle and New England. An interesting game for sure. Seattle getting out of the gate now 2-0, 23-20. No Walker. Charbonnet was serviceable as an RB2, or maybe slightly better, depending on your scoring format. Scored a rushing touchdown, 38 yards, 5 for 31 as a pass catcher, and that's really where he adds a lot of fantasy value. Will he get another start? I don't know. We don't know where Walker is heading into next week. So Charbonnet's out there in enough leagues, which was surprising that he's going to be one of the top guys in my waiver wire rankings for tomorrow, which I already started updating. Like, it won't be complete until Tuesdays at ftnfantasy.com, but on Mondays, I put an initial list out there. Like, I have 30-some players on this list already, and I do expect it to get close to 50 again this week with defenses and whatnot. And the waiver wire tool has my little notes in there. It's just quick notes just to give you a little context. Ownership on ESPN and Yahoo, and then a suggested fab percentage. Geno Smith, he is on there because he had a 300-yard game. 10-plus catches for both DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, both over 100 yards, 56-yard touchdown for Metcalf. And Tyler Lockett was almost non-existent. Now, somebody had asked me, hey, Smith-Njigba's out there on waivers. Would you drop Lockett for him? And I said, yes. Lockett really wasn't my preferred anyway. I had said this on this very podcast in the, I guess it was right before the heart of fantasy draft season, that I thought this would be the year we see Smith-Njigba really leapfrog Lockett in the pecking order. It's only week 2, but we are heading in that direction. Smith-Njigba unlikely to be available because he is widely rostered. Moving to the other side, Hunter Henry, 8 catches, 109 yards. That was the most he's ever had in a single game, which is pretty surprising. But we'll have to talk more about that because Jacoby Brissett really, really liked him. I don't know how long Brissett holds this job. like Drake May very well could take over soon. In fact, last week we heard from the Patriots that Drake May and Brissett were splitting. Brissett was getting about 70% of the reps with the ones, which means 30% to Drake May. So this may happen sooner rather than later. And just keep that in mind with Hunter Henry. But still, good volume. I mean, 12 targets. He actually looked pretty good here. Otherwise, the only other takeaway, like Ramondre is still being Ramondre. And don't get too in the weeds with Antonio Gibson. 11 for 96 was very encouraging. But the snap distribution, like Gibson looked great. But here's the snap distribution. 47 snaps for Stevenson, 16 for Gibson. So don't get too crazy there. It's not like this is changing the guard. All right, the Giants in Washington, this was a strange game. So the Giants didn't have a kicker, and the Commanders only had a kicker. Like, the Giants scored 3 touchdowns and lost. Like, that is crazy. They're the first team in regulation to do so. It has happened once before, but it happened in overtime back in 1989. The Rams lost 23-21 to Minnesota, despite scoring 3 touchdowns and allowing no touchdowns. Weird. But let me talk about the Washington side first. There were some good things for sure, but the Seibert field goals. So he had only one that came from longer than 33 yards. He had a 45-yarder, but here are the remaining ones, and I'll just go in order of how they happened. 27, 26, 27, 29, 33, 30. That tells me that team can't score touchdowns. I mean, you don't have to use analytics there. That's not good. I mean, I think this changes. And honestly, Jaden Daniels looked a little bit more comfortable throwing the football this week, and he was a little less prone to run, which, you know, he still ran 10 times, but they were trying to get that under wraps a little bit because he was taking too many hits. He's not great at avoiding the big hits right now, but overall efficient as a passer. So, I mean, super encouraged by all of that. He ended up connecting 4 times for 62 yards with Zach Ertz. I had somebody hit me up and said, yeah, I lost Evan Ingram. We'll get into the Evan Ingram thing in a bit. Lost Evan Ingram, and I went to your rankings, and I saw Zach Ertz was high, so I just picked him up. And it ended up being okay. Like 10 points in a PPR, I'll take that all day long. Brian Robinson, a career-high 133 rushing yards. He is still ahead of Austin Eckler in the pecking order for sure. Over to the other side. So Malik Nabers is really good. He ends up going 10 for 127 and a touchdown on 18 targets. The other Giants receivers altogether combined for 9 targets, 6 catches, 51 yards. So yeah, pretty good. 193 receiving yards in his first 2 career games, second most by a player in NFL history. That was it was awesome. It was so awesome. He was 67% of the targets. It's the highest target share we've seen since Sammy Watkins back in 2015. It was awesome. So if you have Malik Nabers, giddy up. Devin Singletary actually looked really good in this game as well. He's another one of these hero/zero RB guys that at least early on is paying some dividends. And honestly, for what it's worth, Daniel Jones wasn't terrible. 2 passing touchdowns, no interceptions, ran 5 for 32. Wasn't terrible in this game. And we figured because the matchup was pretty favorable. All right, we're going to continue on here. And coming up next, we're going to talk about the Chargers, Carolina. J.K. Dobbins, get your popcorn ready. And we are back. Unsurprisingly, the Chargers just took it to the Carolina Panthers. Carolina just, they look like a JV team out there. Chargers winning 26-3. J.K. Dobbins doing J.K. Dobbins things, apparently. 17 for 131 and a score. First Charger since LaDainian Tomlinson with 130-plus in consecutive games. That was in 2007. 8th most rushing yards in the first 2 games with a new team since 1970. Dobbins has been awesome. But don't be, you know, don't run out there and try and acquire Dobbins. Like, Dobbins might be a sell high if you don't think he can sustain this. Certainly. He is not a player I am buying right now. Now, fortunately, a lot of FTN subscribers did draft him because I ended up moving him into a priority spot in the late rounds after talking to Hayden Hurst. I already talked about this on this podcast. So good news there. The not so good news. He is still in a full-blown timeshare with Gus Edwards. They both played 31 snaps in this game. And I don't think that changes. Now, Gus is more of a plotter for sure, but he has his role in that offense as well, and I don't think it changes. Also, Quentin Johnston sighting? What the heck? 5 for 51 and 2 touchdowns for Quentin Johnston on 6 targets. He was the clear leader of those wide receivers. Did it just happen? I mean, one game is one game, but we are going to have to talk about him. And the Tuesday podcast, remember, it's like a little bit news, a little bit waivers. I'll give you the top 10. Last week I did 11 because it was close, but I'll give you the top 10 and then you get the remaining waiver wire rankings list in the waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com. But we'll set you up with the biggest names for sure. Because hey, most of us are playing in leagues where maybe number one, number two, number three aren't available. Maybe they are, but you're certainly going to have some of those top names available every single week. Because I've already looked at the list and how it's shaping out to be. And there are definitely a couple of these guys who are available in even my competitive leagues. So you got that there. All right. So otherwise, let's go to the Carolina side and I'm done. It was bad. It was really bad. On the season, Bryce Young leads all quarterbacks with 27.8 of his throws being off target. That is really ugly. So hopefully things can change there. But as of right now, I'm not going to hold my breath on that front. Let's move on to Cleveland and Jacksonville. In this game, the Cleveland Browns managed to hold serve, and Deshaun Watson looked better. It wasn't great, but it was improvement, week over week improvement, and I think that's all you can really ask for. He did score a rushing touchdown. He was relatively clean with the football. I know some people are, you know, panicking about Amari Cooper, and my response to that is, have you just met Amari Cooper? Like, this is Amari Cooper. Yeah, he went 3 for 11 this week. And guess what? I've seen this happen before. And next week, he could go like 7 for 190 and 2. Like, it's Amari Cooper. This is just Amari Cooper. If you signed up for that, this is the ride you're on. You know, if you took that ticket, this is the ride you're on. Otherwise, I mean, Jerry Judy's not doing too poorly. 5 for 73 in this one, actually led the way in receiving yards. Be careful with the backfield. Deontay Foreman, a much larger role this week. It does look like Pierre Strong's going to miss some time, but Foreman out there, Foreman actually had 15 touches. Jerome Ford, meanwhile, had 8. He was good on his touches, very efficient on his touches, but that was my fear heading into the season that we were going to see more of Foreman, and here we go. I think we are going to see more of Foreman. On the other side, not a good one for Trevor Lawrence and company, although Brian Thomas just keeps making big plays. The rookie is a lot of fun. It was a weird game, though, because Evan Engram got hurt in warmups. I don't think that Brenton Strange is the answer. He did go 3 for 65, but I don't think he's the answer if you have Evan Engram. You might want to look elsewhere. Usually, those types of injuries, I mean, I would not be surprised if this is kind of like a T. Higgins type situation, even though T. Higgins happened in practice, but it was a hamstring, and hamstrings can take a little bit of time. So we'll see the practice reports this week, but I would prepare for another direction if you have Evan Engram. Otherwise, it was Tank Bigsby who got banged up on special teams, and so we saw more to Ernest Johnson, but ETN was fine here. He scored a touchdown, caught 3 balls for 6 yards. What did he do? It wasn't great, but it was RB2 production. So not too shabby there for ETN. And Christian Kirk, by the way, not good. 1 for -1. Oh, boy. Not good. If you have him, let's hope for better. There's really not much you can do. I mean, you could cut him, but I don't know if that really works. You're not going to be able to trade him away. All right, let's go to Vegas and Baltimore. One of the most surprising on the slate. Vegas winning in Baltimore? Okay, 26-23. Brock Bowers has been awesome through his first 2 games. 15 receptions. That's the most by a rookie tight end all time, beating Keith Jackson's record. Man, a couple of Keith Jackson records going down here recently. 12 is what he had in 1988. Devontae Adams having a great game as well. They both caught 9 balls. Adams goes for 110 and a touchdown. Baker doing enough. And that's all that matters. If he can keep doing enough to sustain value for those two, I think that most all of us would be pretty happy. I know the Raiders fans would be even more happy there. But otherwise, the only other spot I'm keeping an eye on is the backfield. Alexander Mattison scored, but he didn't do anything. 4 for 1 and a touchdown as a runner. It was more Zamir White this week. White outsnapping Madison 39-13, but there really isn't much there with Zamir White either. Over to the other side, it was not the most Lamar-like performance. And you know what? I actually have to pause here because Bryce Young is going to be benched. Oh, boy. For the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Carolina. All right, well, we'll evaluate that going forward, but I guess Andy Dalton's going to be in the Superflex waivers conversation. Yikes. Back to Lamar Jackson. Sorry, I had to just cut in with that. You know, if any news ever happens when I'm doing the podcast, I will cut in with it. But Lamar didn't run as much, 5 for 45. You have to think that all those hits that he took in week one, team was trying to get him to not do that for sustainability purposes. He was fine with Zay Flowers, 7 for 91 and a touchdown. Derrick Henry, it wasn't a game script for him, but he still managed to get the touchdown, 18 for 84. Otherwise, it would have been a Derrick dilemma game. And if you don't know what that is, that's when Derrick Henry goes out. He'll have like a decent day, like 18 for 84 and no touchdown is not a good fantasy day. 18 for 84 and a touchdown is all right. And he added a catch for 12 yards. Isaiah Likely. My suspicion was correct. Mark Andrews is still the lead tight end here. Isaiah Likely, other defenses have to account for him. They did in this game, and he goes 2 for 26. Andrews 4 for 51. He was the much better fantasy asset this week. Now, that's not to say that Likely isn't going to have any more big games, because I'm sure he will, but we won't exactly know when they're going to happen. And it shows you why you shouldn't overreact to week one. I had people saying, hey, I know this might be the wrong move, but I'm going to drop Mark Andrews for Isaiah Likely. It's like, dude, all right, it's your fantasy team. But Andrews is still a top 10 fantasy tight end, and Likely is still more of a tight end two with upside. Let's move over to Rams Cardinals, and there's injuries coming out of this one, or at least one big one. The injury, of course, being Cooper Kupp. Puka Nacua going to injured reserve. Cooper Kupp could miss some time here, unfortunately, with this issue. It's an ankle injury. He was spotted in a walking boot after the game. So tomorrow we will have to talk about DeMarcus Robinson, Tyler Johnson, Jordan Whittington, and Colby Parkinson for that matter. So that stinks right there. Blake Corum did get in this game, by the way. He actually had some carries, but it was all during, you know, garbage time at the end because the Cardinals blew out the Rams 41-10. Kyren at least got in the end zone before all of that. So let's go over to the good stuff here. If you were worried about Marvin Harrison Jr. last week, I don't think you're worried anymore. 4 for 130 and 2 touchdowns. If you bought low on him, nice. This is what the ceiling looks like with this guy. Is he going to hit the ceiling every week? No, of course not. But this is what it looks like. So, and most basically all that production was in the very beginning of the game, and then he didn't need to do much from there. Kyler was awesome, 266 and 3, 5 for 59. James Conner was awesome, 21 for 122 and a score. Trey McBride was awesome, 6 for 67. Like, they played the hits. Everybody we wanted to hit, hit for the Arizona Cardinals, and this was a statement game for Jonathan Gannon's team. This was a big-time statement game. Was a lot of fun to see that offensive output. Over to Pittsburgh and Denver, the opposite of this game. Oh my, is this a baseball game? 13-6? Steelers won. And if you go back through the Super Bowl era, they're the third team to start 2-0 with one or fewer touchdowns. The only other times it's happened, the Bills in 88 and the 2000 Lions. Justin Fields. You're hearing people sing praises of Justin Fields, but I'm going to look at this from a fantasy standpoint and a football standpoint. And first and foremost, they are covering him up. He had the one touchdown to Washington, to Darnell Washington. We're not picking up Darnell Washington, by the way. He ran 4 routes. He's a blocking tight end. But Fields threw the ball 20 times, 117 yards. He ran 8 times for 27 yards. His throws, he's 20% of his throws have been off target. He's 1 of 5 quarterbacks to be over 20% on the season. That's not good. I don't know if they go to Russell Wilson, but the offense looks anemic with him out there. Absolutely anemic. I will say Najee Harris at least looks good, and Jaylen Warren's work did increase this week, so that's encouraging there. Over to the other side, there's not much that's encouraging either. I mean, I guess Bo Nix took a little bit of a step forward, though he did have 2 crucial interceptions in this contest. Javonte Williams, I mean, he had 16 touches and was good as a pass catcher, 5 for 48. He just didn't get anything done on the ground, but I'm not going to blame him against a tough Steelers defense. So at least maybe he stays in flex territory. And yeah, people are going to panic about Cortland Sutton, 1 for 26. As Knicks makes progress, hopefully we'll see Sutton's fantasy value rebound. So it's just kind of wait and see mode with him. Moving on to Cincinnati, Kansas City. I'm not even going to bury the lead here. Let's talk about the big story out of this game. Isaiah Pacheco went to injured reserve. I'm not going to mince words. I'm not going to beat around the bush. There is a distinct possibility that we see him out for months, not weeks, months. This type of injury is, well, so it's a fractured fibula. And we did see Mark Andrews last year with a fractured fibula, and it was like a 8-week-ish. If he has surgery, though, this could be 3+ months. In other words, basically the entire fantasy football season, including the postseason. Almost. Pretty darn close to it. Yeah, that sucks. And it especially sucks because he was having another good game. He was 19 for 90 on the ground, 5 for 21 as a pass catcher. Like, he is a true three-down back, and this sucks. So what do we do? As of right now, it looks like we could have Carson Steele as the early down back, Samaje Perine as the passing down back. I don't think it's likely that they use one guy's just a 100% replacement for Pacheco. They could bring up somebody from the practice squad. They could bring in a veteran. I don't know if that happens. On their practice squad right now, let me take a quick look. So they have Keontae Ingram. They have Imani Bailey as well. And Imani Bailey, a little bit undersized out of TCU. So maybe Keontae Ingram comes up. As of now, though, like, it's Steele probably is the best option. I don't know if he's a league winner, but he could have the opportunity to be the lead early down back and a potent offense for possibly the remainder of the regular season. Like, there is a very viable concern here that Pacheco is done for most of the fantasy football season. Not going to beat around the bush. Otherwise, Rashee Rice looks awesome. I'm not panicking over Kelsey. Maybe you are. Could be a buy low opportunity. Funny thing, Xavier Worthy, 3 touches last week, 3 touches this week, but we see what a difference it is when you score 2 touchdowns and when you don't. You know, I don't think the volume is going to be very high for him, even with Hollywood Brown, you know, out for the year probably. Over to the other side, Burrow looked a lot better here. Not panicking over Jamar Chase. He saw tough coverage from McDuffie in this one. Zach Moss clearly ahead of Chase Brown. Snap distribution in this one, it paints a very clear picture. Moss played 50 snaps, 11 for Chase Brown. So are we dropping Chase Brown? Well, I'm not just dropping anybody just for the sake of dropping them. There has to be somebody good to pick up. Like, would you drop him for Carson Steele? Sure. Would I drop him for, you know, Bucky Irving? No. You know, there's got to be a reason to do it. So potentially a hold. It really depends on your situation. Mike Gesicki we'll have to talk about in waivers as well. He will make the list after. And it's the fact that he saw 9 targets. That's really the big thing. He's 7 for 91 for Gesicki in this one. Okay, last game on the list here, Chicago and Houston. On the Houston side, the good, the bad. The good was C.J. Stroud. Wasn't amazing, but really just effective, efficient. Nico Collins was amazing. 8 for 135 and 1. He's been awesome. Digs a lot of dink and dunk. 4 for 37. And unfortunately, not much for Tank Dell. Again, there's only one football, man. And so far, that football has been finding its way to Nico Collins early, often, and everything in between. Joe Mixon dealing with an injury. We don't know the extent of the injury right now, but if he is going to miss time, we'll have a better picture of this tomorrow. It'll be Cam Akers, not Damian Pierce. Okay? So welcome back to fantasy relevance potentially here for Cam Akers. Over to the other side, Caleb Williams was better but not good in this one. And I'm hearing a lot of people blaming the offensive line. I don't know if it is the offensive line. I think Caleb Williams may not be making all of the checks correctly in terms of at the line of scrimmage. You know, this is the first time he's identifying these things. And that's going to come with time. You know, that is definitely going to come with time. He did run 5 times for 44 yards. The backfield is a mess. Like, yes, Khalil Herbert scored the touchdown, but he barely played. He played 6 snaps. Travis Homer played 18. Okay, DeAndre Swift, not effective, but played 44 snaps. In fact, he had five runs of zero or negative yards, so that was ugly. Keenan Allen sat out. Roma Dunze almost had a touchdown, but really, you know, otherwise was ineffective, too, for 33 minutes to play for, through the injury. DJ Moore did have 10 targets. 6 for 53 is okay. I mean, it's not going to lose you your week, but obviously we need Caleb Williams to take a step forward. It takes time. It takes time for these things to develop. We're 2 weeks into the season. And I think, you know, you look at like Jordan Love last year. Now, technically not his rookie season, but his first season as a starter. The first 2 months were rough. The final 2 months were awesome. Like, it can take time here. So if you drafted Caleb Williams as an upside guy, I'd be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and see it through for like the first month or so. And let's see if we see glimpses. So far, a little rough, but let's see if we see glimpses going forward. All right, that's going to wrap it up today. So tomorrow I'll be back. We'll talk news. We'll talk waivers, like the top waiver ads of the week. And we'll keep rolling from there. If you want to get an early look at how the list is shaping out in the waiver tool over at ftnfantasy.com, stop by. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Follow me on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. And I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.